It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll learn about the Hodag of Rhinelander and some other mythical creatures from Wisconsin folklore. First, primaries are coming to the state next week, and Wisconsin is getting a lot of love this time around. All five major party presidential candidates are appearing in Wisconsin ahead of the April 5th primary. Hillary Clinton is speaking right now, I think about three blocks from here on UW-Madison's campus. John Kasich, Ted Cruz both have events this evening. Kasich in Madison, Cruz a rally in Rothschild. Donald Trump making his first Wisconsin appearance in Janesville tomorrow. That's the schedule. Bernie Sanders continues his tour in Appleton and West Allis tomorrow. Wisconsin's 42 delegates have become critical for all three Republican candidates. For Trump, trying to keep his lead. For Kasich and Cruz, trying to keep Trump short of that majority, have an open convention. On the Democratic side, Wisconsin is a major stop on the Sanders campaign since picking up momentum after winning in Washington, Hawaii, and Alaska. He still lags Hillary Clinton in the total delegate count. Here to tell us more about Wisconsin's role in the presidential election is Charlie Jacobs, Associate Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Charlie, we've seen a lot of attention for general elections in the presidential race before. We don't usually see this much action on the primary side, do we?
Not particularly. I mean, we're late enough in the season that in most years, we sort of know where the winds are blowing well enough that we're sort of an afterthought in the process. But, I mean, both sides are, I think, sort of deeply enmeshed in the debate still about who's going to be the candidate. We keep talking about sort of presumptive candidates, but every time we seem to have a primary, a caucus in another state, there's still always that question mark kind of lingering. So I think that we become a much bigger player this year, and not just because of the delegates, but I think because of what the outcome might reflect from this particular primary. We're a swing state. We've been a swing state in the last couple of elections. We're in many ways like Ohio as a bellwether. And I think that pundits and those who like to prognosticate about November elections will take what they see in this election next Tuesday to try to get some sense about how voters might be playing out when we get down to the final two choice.
Yeah, in the momentum conversation, we are the only game in town next Tuesday. So a lot of candidates, no matter how many delegates are at play, they're looking for the story that, hey, they're winning, they're proving that they can win.
That's true. And I think because we're still considered one of those Rust Belt states where you still have sort of old guard Democrats and strong union support and all of the events that unfolded because of Act 10, I think we're looking at that on the Democratic side and whether or not those kind of moderate Democrats might be defecting towards Republican candidates much like they did during the Reagan years. So I think there's just lots to chew on here, and I think the national media is going to take this maybe for more than it's worth, but at least they're going to get a clearer picture about how one of these sort of purple states might react in the general election in November.
So all the candidates are campaigning in Wisconsin over the next week. We're seeing ads, some attack ads from outside groups. 8 days out, have most of us made up their minds already?
Most of us probably have. You know, we have a pretty strong core of independents in this state that are often very unpredictable. Independents typically are. But, you know, what we're seeing in some of the most recent polls, Emerson had a poll out the other day, is that there seems to be a dividing line in the state. It seems like we have almost a west versus east kind of divide. Trump seems to be doing very well in the western counties. So too does Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is pulling very well in the northeast components of the state. And Clinton and Cruz are doing much better in the eastern side, and Hillary especially down in the sort of southeastern corner of the state. So it might do them in the last hours as they run up to this primary, stick to a regional cohort and see whether or not they can pull some votes over there.
That's interesting, Charlie. Does that tell us something about politics in Wisconsin? Are people, you know, we've got that southeast area, a lot of the population there, a lot of the government there. Are people in the outstate area feeling particularly disaffected?
That may be the case. I mean, just what we know about the demographics of the state, you know, more highly populated in the southern and eastern quadrant of the state, probably sort of more establishment. We have more government there. The state capital is there, more densely populated. So it might be that the establishment candidates are more attractive to that population. Possibly in the northeastern corner, we have a couple of institutions of higher education that might have an effect on it. But it might be the sort of the more rural nature of the West, the kind of message that's coming from Sanders and from Trump, the sort of populism might be resonating more with those individuals than it does in sort of the more traditional urban areas of the state.
Talking to political scientist Charlie Jacobs from St. Norbert College, looking at the presidential primary coming up 8 days, all the candidates showing up in Wisconsin this week. Let's take each party in turn now, Charlie. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders comes out of the weekend with some momentum. Hillary Clinton, as I mentioned, the delegate lead around the country. How big a deal is Wisconsin for Bernie Sanders' campaign in particular?
I think if he can maintain that momentum that he had from the most the three most recent races, I think he's got a good case to make with the unpledged delegates. And he was making this case a little bit earlier in the week when he was saying that they'll switch. Once I start to gain some more traction, they'll start to switch and they'll abandon Hillary. And that's always an issue, because until they're given a reason to, these unpledged delegates can change their vote any time that they want. Right now, the safe bet seems to be Hillary Clinton. So if he can win, and not win by a small margin, but if he can Clinton, I think that he can start to make that case, and that makes it a little dicier for Clinton as she goes into the convention, whether or not all those unpledged, or what we often call superdelegates, whether or not they're going to stick with what they perceive to be the front runner, or maybe go with the challenger. So that's going to be an interesting question as we move forward.
And the storyline in a lot of states has been Hillary Clinton does well in states with a large African-American Democratic population. Bernie Sanders does well among white liberals. We've got both kinds of voters here in Wisconsin, so how does that play out?
Well, a small population of ethnic and racial minorities in the state, so that may not play to the advantage of Hillary Clinton. And the other question, and this is one that we can't forget, especially after what we saw recently in Arizona, is, you know, for someone like Clinton, who may be expecting to get those votes from those populations, this is going to be one of the first major elections where we have voter ID. And there's always been a worry and a suspicion that the voter ID law is going to impact individuals from racial and ethnic minority groups more than whites. And that might actually depress the voter turnout for her if there's any issues related to voter ID. And that's not to say that there's an intentional suppression of votes, but just that they do not come prepared with their ID or don't have a valid ID. So that's an issue that we could see play out. And Arizona saw this because of the number of polling stations that they had open during their recent primary and how it affected people who couldn't wait in line for the hours it took to cast their ballot. So that could really be an issue for Clinton. We'll have to see what the returns look like.
On the Republican side, I was looking at the political prognostication site 538.com. Depending on how they slice it, Trump is leading Cruz, or Cruz is leading Trump. Kasich, he had a 9 or 10% chance of winning the state himself. What's going to determine how that Republican side comes out?
It's really, this has been such a quirky election season that, I mean, I think most of these prognostications are kind of, they're just sort of guesses in the wind. It's really so difficult to get a real sense of what is pushing and pulling the voters in a particular direction. And what makes it even more difficult for Wisconsin is we haven't had much polling here, so it's really difficult to tell. I mean, we had a Marquette poll that came out in the end of February, but that was before we lost a couple of candidates in the GOP race. And the last couple were very small samples. So it's really hard to get a sense, but the last two polls that came out had Cruz up a little bit. And it may be that we're finally getting to a water's edge for most of the public, and the rhetoric of Trump is sort of catching up with him, especially some of those super PAC ads that have been airing about sort of what a vote for someone like Kasich would mean, maybe entrenching more delegates for someone like Trump. So I think that what we're going to have to see is whether or not the public is really paying attention to the foothold that Trump has made for himself in the delegate race. And there might be some fear among those who at first listened hard to his ideas and took him seriously, but might now be sort of taking the foot off the pedal and thinking about a different way to turn, depending on what other candidates might be attractive to them.
And Trump has been making the rounds on Wisconsin's Republican talk radio shows, not getting a warm reception from the hosts there, who are often, you know, friendly to conservative politicians. Is that an indication that more than just the mainstream Republican establishment is going to turn against Trump?
It may also just be the territory he's in. As I like to explain to my students a lot, a Republican in Connecticut is going to be a lot different from a Republican in Texas. And you can't treat every state alike and assume you're going to have an audience that's friendly to everything you say. And Trump has had his problems when he's faced the media. He has been sort of unprepared because he has sort of a boilerplate speech or a boilerplate response to so many of the issues that he's asked about. And when pressed hard, he often stumbles. He stumbled with the Washington Post. And I think the conservative talk radio show hosts, although we like to sort of lump them into sort of one brand, often have their own very distinct voices. And if given the opportunity, I think they're going to challenge not just Trump, but any one of the candidates on the stances that they have and the positions that they're going to take. And I just think Trump ran into a fan blade here that he wasn't really expecting. He was probably expecting the soft touch again, like he often gets. And he couldn't talk his way out of it like he typically does.
We'll leave it there for now. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Charlie Jacobs, Associate Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College, looking at Wisconsin's role in the presidential election with next Tuesday's primary.